Okay, good morning, everybody. Let's get started back from the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Beis Shammai Amar, Lo Yimani Yisrael Ima Kohen Lebechor. Beis Shammai says, Yisrael should not join in the group of the Kohen on a Bechor, meaning the Kohen is the one who, if it's a Bechor Balmum, can have a barbecue in his backyard. Therefore, you might think, says Beis Shammai, the Kohen can invite over his Yisrael neighbors to join him for the barbecue. Nope, says Beit Shammai, it's only got to be Kohanim. Kohanim have to eat it alone by themselves. The Bechor is for them. Uveis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel says, nah, you can invite over Yisraelim, and you know what? Vafilo Ovet Kochavim. You can even have a Goy over, other than, you know, the potential issues involved with having Goyim over in general for meals. You know, in terms of actually splitting the Bechor, Beis Hillel say, we couldn't care the less who you have over. It doesn't have to be just a Kohen. The Gemara is going to go into more detail as to why they hold this way. Masnisin Mani. Who is our Mishnah? Like Rabbi Akiva, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, Bechor, if you have a Bechor, the Stam opinion, okay, which is Beis Shammai, Divrei Beis Shammai, is that you can only have a group of Kohanim eat from your Bechor. Uveis Hillel Omer is still at the bottom of Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, three, four lines up. Uveis Hillel Omer, Beis Hillel say, Afilu Zarim, you can even have strangers, meaning Yisraelim, as part of your Chabura. Rabbi Akiva, Matir, Afilu Ovid Kochavim. And Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, presumably within Beis Hillel, that even Ovdei Kochavim are allowed to be part of this group. It's not limited to just Kohanim. It's not even limited to Jews. You can even have Ovdei Kochavim. My time at Beis Shammai. So now we're going to go through reason by reason by reason. What's the reason of Beis Shammai? Okay, Dichsiv, as it says, Uvsaram Yihi Alach. And their meat should be to you. Okay, so this is going to be talking about something that has a mum, according to Beis Shammai. And what's important is the continuation of this pasuk. This is something that's missing in our Gemara. But if you have the full pasuk there, it's Uvsaram Yelach Kachazeh Hatnufa Uchshay Kayamin Lachayeh. They should be like the Chazeh Hatnufa and the Shok Kayamin. Does everybody know what the Chazeh V'Shok are? Chazeh V'Shok are special, one of the special presents, or not really, matanos, that we give, the gifts that we give to the Kohanim that only Kohanim may eat. So says Beit Shammai, it's a pasuk. This meat should be to you like this chazeh vashok. Okay? And as Rashi adds in the next line of the Gemara, right? Ma chazeh vashok. Kohanim in Yisrael lo, or in our Gemara's ma hasam, kohanim in Yisrael lo, just like they're only kohanim may eat from the chazeh vashok. Avhacha kohanim in Yisrael lo. So to hear, kohanim are the only ones that are allowed to eat from this bechor balmum, and not regular Yisraelim. And we continue on to the next page, on Lamed Gimel. Uveis Hillel, and Beis Hillel would say, no, 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 no. You're reading the Pasuk wrong. The Pasuk is not talking about a Bechor which has a Mum. The Pasuk is talking about a regular plain Bechor Tam. Okay? Hani Mili, says Beis Hillel, Hani Mili Tam. That Tam is compared to Chazav Ishok, and a Bechor Tam, meaning a Bechor without a Mum, that may only be eaten by Kohanim. Right? Aval Baal Mum, Ksiv. But when it comes to a Baal Mum, okay, it says Bisharachat Ochlenu Hatamevi Hatahar Yachdav Yochelenu. Okay, that's maybe not the same pasuk the Gemara is quoting. Okay, fine. There's another pasuk like that. The point is that a tame and a tahor may together eat it. So says Beis Hillel, it's not going to be just a tame and a tahor that can eat it. Meaning, all Beis Hillel knows from the pasuk in the Torah is that a kohen that is pure and a kohen that is impure is allowed to eat a bechor balmum. How do Beis Hillel know that even this Yisrael is allowed to take part? Uma tame she'inu ochel bekadshim kalim, ochel bebechor. So says Beis Hillel, we have the following reasoning. A tame kohen is not allowed to eat kadshim kalim, but is allowed to eat a bechor based on this pasuk in the Torah. So therefore, it's a kal v'chomer. Zarsha ochel b'kachim kalim, since there are kachim kalim, and parts of kachim kalim, which Yisraelim eat. What are some examples? Okay, shlamim would be one, because of bailim.
Pesach,
exactly. You can go through Ezehu Makoman and find out which ones, and including at the end, v'chor v'amaser v'pesach. Okay, and certain ones of those you can eat. So says Beis Hillel, Eino din sheyochal b'bechor, if they have a higher status, meaning in order to allow a Yisrael to eat, a Yisrael is allowed to eat even in cases when a Tamei Kohen is not allowed to eat. So in this case, where we see a Tamei Kohen being allowed to eat Kal v'chomer, Yisrael can eat, and that's the reasoning of Beis Hillel, again, Stam Beis Hillel, without factoring in Rabbi Akiva yet. So ask the Gemara, but Ika l'mifrach, Beis Hillel, that's not a good Kal v'chomer. You have the following pircha. Mala Tamei shekein hutar michlalo ba'avodas tibur. But when it comes to Tumah, there's an additional special rule, okay? And that's what we know as Tumah Hutra Bitzibur, basically. Which is that when it comes to Tumah, when it comes to doing the Avoda, okay? In certain scenarios, the Avoda can be done even by a Kohen Tameh. If that's the case, we see that it should be easier for a Tameh Kohen to eat than for a Yisrael to eat. Because obviously we can't let a Yisrael ever do the Avoda. So how can Beis Hillel then say this Kal v'chomer? Obviously a Yisrael can eat if a Tamei Kohen can eat. No, a Tamei Kohen, perhaps there's a reason that a Tamei Kohen can eat a naughty Yisrael, and it's not a Kal v'chomer. Okay? And Beis Hillel responds, though. U'Beis Hillel, atu ba'avoda ka'amar? Says Beis Hillel, we're not talking about avoda here. We're not talking about serving in the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about eating. Ba'achila ka'amrinan. We're talking about eating. Achila zar adif. And when it comes to eating, there's no rule that you may ever eat that Tumah Hutra for eating, yeah. It's only ever for the Avoda that Tumah is permitted. Therefore, Beis Hillel says, when it comes to the eating aspect, since the Pasuk tells us, HaTameh V'Atar Yachtav, that even a Tameh Kohen can eat, Kal v'chomer Yisrael can eat. And that's the reasoning of Beis Hillel. For Rabbi Akiva, Matir V'Afilu Ovde Kochavim, and Rabbi Akiva says that even non-Jews may take part. My time at Rabbi Akiva, again, we said this is presumably within the view of Beis Hillel. What's the reason of Rabbi Akiva? He says, Katzvi v'cha ayal. It's like a tzvi and an ayal. Okay, these are animals. Okay, matzvi v'ayal mutar la'ovde kochavim. These are not korbanos animals, okay? Matzvi v'ayal mutar la'ovde kochavim. Just as a tzvi and ayal are permitted to a non-Jew, af psulin mutar la'ovde kochavim. Since it's compared in the pasuk, in the psukim there in Re'ei, to a tzvi and ayal, okay, then therefore, just as a non-Jew may eat those animals, so too a non-Jew may take part in these psulei hamukdashin, and specifically in our case, in a bechor. Okay, that's why the non-Jews may eat it, because of this hekesh to a tzvi v'ayal. Now, how would everybody else respond? Why is it that each shita doesn't hold to the other shita of idach? Okay, and the other shitas would hold, meaning the original version of Beis Hillel. Tlasa tzvi ve'ayal ksivi. It says three times tzvi ve'ayal. Okay, and you can try to look through them, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel in your Torah or. Chad lichter Rabbi Yitzchak. One is for the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. Ve'chad l'Rabbi Yoshia. Ve'chad lichter Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar. Okay? Now, it's unclear exactly whether this is counting three or this is counting two. The simple pshat in the Gemara is to tell you that it's counting only two. One is Rabbi Yitzchak b'shem Rabbi Oshia. The second one is Rabbi Lazar Kapar. And the third one is going to be explained by the Gemara. Now, just on a little side note, to talk about what are these other things. So if you look in Rabbeinu Gershom, Rashi was not much help here, because he doesn't explain. Oh, actually, he does say, sorry, over here, right? He says, right, Chad lechter Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Oshia v'lon nisparish lanu heichan. Rashi and Rabbi Gershom both tell us we can't find this anywhere in Gemara. They searched all of Shas up and down. Granted, it was before the days of Bar Ilan, but they searched Shas all of, up and down. They couldn't find this Drasha anywhere, the first Drasha. The second one is Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar. Okay, again, if you check Rabbi Gershom, he could tell you exactly what's going on there. Why does it say, Kasher Yachel Tzviv Esa Ayal? To tell you, just like a Behema needs Shchita, so too a Tzvi and Ayal needs Shchita, okay? That's Rabbi Lezer HaKapar's drasha. And finally, we have the third drasha here. What's Be'idach, the last one? Continues the Gemara, Matzvi v'ayal peturin min ha-bechora, just like Tzvi and Ayal do not have the rules of Bechora, because Bechora only applies to Behemes. Af psulei ha-mukdashin peturin min ha-bechora. So to psulei ha-mukdashin are exempt from Bechora. Okay? So that is where we are. Tana Rabbanan. So that's why the other opinions in Beis Hillel, and presumably Beis Shammai as well, do not agree with Rabbi Akiva, because they learn each of these Tzvi V'ayels for different reasons. Tana Rabbanan. Let's start again. We're going to now quote a Braisa. In this brisa, we're going to state a couple of opinions and try to pair up these opinions with other shitos that we already know from elsewhere in Shas. Specifically, we're going to focus on Beis Shammai's opinion, okay? So, Tana Rabbanan, Bechor, Ein Ma'achilin Oso Lenidos, Divrei Beis Shammai. Okay? So, Beis Shammai say that you cannot feed a Bechor to a woman who is a Nida, and presumably, by extension, you can go through the, you know, the different Mefarshim to see whether or not it applies to men, which are Tameh for similar reasons. No, ma'achilin oso lenidos. It doesn't matter if a woman is tamei, because she is a nida, you can still feed her bechor. So my time at Beis Shammai, let's first explain this machlokas. What's the reasoning of Beis Shammai? Yisiv, uvsaram yihyalach, again, ka'achazeat nufaoch shok ha'yamin l'cha yihyeh. Okay, it's similar to the chazev shok. Ma'hasam, if over there nidos lo, nida women may not partake when they are impure, avhacha, so to hear, nidos lo by a bechor, even if it's a balmum, nidos may not partake. Uveis Hillel and Veis Hillel hold, no, hani mili tam, as they said before early on the Amud, so they say again, that pasuk is not talking about a bechor balmum, that's talking about a regular bechor. Avo balmum, hata meve hata har, yachtav yochalenu. Say Veis Hillel, it's mefurish a pasuk. When it comes to a bechor balmum, the tamei can eat it, the tahor can eat it, right? Atmei vatar achla. Uveis Shammai, and how will Beis Shammai respond to that? It seems that Beis Hillel have a pasuk directly supporting them. Hani mili hecha de'ein tuma yotza alav migufo. So Beis Shammai now comes up with a brisker chiluk. Beis Shammai says, I'll tell you, there's two types of tuma. There's tuma which emerges from inside one's body. Again, we can think of many different classifications of that when it comes to tuma. Zav, Zava, etc. Aval hecha de tuma yotze alav migufo lo. And they, however, the tuma that's discussed in that pasuk that Beis Hillel brings, say Beis Shammai, is only tumas mace. Okay? So therefore, they would say, Beis Shammai respond to Beis Hillel saying, your pasuk that you brought hatameh v'atar yachalenu is not talking about anida. It's only talking about tumas mace. Okay? And says Beis Shammai, what's my proof to this, that we're allowed to differentiate between these different types of tumah, and say the pasuk is only referring to a tumas meis, not an internal tumah which comes out? De ashkechan de paleg rachmana ben tumah yotza alav migufo levein she'ein tumah yotza alav migufo. So because we see the Torah makes this differentiation elsewhere, ditnan. And here's the Mishnah, the proof text for Beis Shammai to say that sometimes when the Torah says tameh, it's only referring to tumei meis. As we see, ha-pesach sheba betuma, a pesach which became tameh, lo yochlu mimenu zavin tzara'in v'zavos v'nidos v'yoldos. Zavim mitzara'im, zavos, nidos, and yoldos should not eat from it in this case. Okay? However, you know, if it's a pesach haba betuma, as you're going to see here in, sorry, I just lost the spot, in Rashi, right? So if, basically the case is as follows. You had most of the tzibor were tameh meis, and everybody brought the Karban Pesach Bituma, still all of these types of people of Tuma Yotze Migufan, like Azav, Azava, Anita, all of those types of people are not allowed to eat from it. Okay? Even though everybody's Tamei Meis, they still can't eat. So say Beis Shammai, we see from here there's a significant distinction between Tuma which comes out from one's body and regular Tumas Meis, and the Torah would only be referring to Tumas Meis, and therefore not to worry, even Anita cannot eat from a Bechor. Beis Hillel's pasuk is not a proof. All clear, or should we go through it one more time?
No, it's good.
Okay. So now, how would Beis Hillel respond? Beis Hillel says, you're playing games here, Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel hasem hu digali rachmana tamei nefesh. He says, if you look, and we just laid this on Pesach, as you may remember, ish ki yeh tamei la nefesh. There it specifically states that it's talking about tamei nefesh. What are tamei nefesh? People who become tamei from coming into contact with a corpse in some manner. And therefore, there it's excluding these nida, zava, etc., etc., etc. So Beis Hillel would respond to Beis Shammai and say, you can't say that hatameh v'hatahor is referring to only tamei nefesh. Why? Because it doesn't say that there. If it would only be referring to tamei nefesh, then it should say that. But since it doesn't say that, we see that all types of people who are tamei, even nidos, are allowed to take part in a bechor bal mum. Okay. Avalacha tamei stamaksiv, loshna, we cannot differentiate. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, next brisa. Ein margilin b'yom tov. We can't margil on yom tov. What is margil? Anybody know? We did have this before. We definitely had this before. We had this, I think, last... It's skinning from the feet. I taught this on a Shabbos, so we definitely had it before, because I don't teach very often. So, taking the skin off, peeling it off, beginning from the feet, it's considered not to be like the nicest way to do things, and therefore, says this, Brisa, in Margilin b'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do this on Yom Tov. Okay, the simple understanding seems to be, as we're going to see, it's because of Tircha. Okay, there's this rule that you can't do sort of extra unnecessary work on Yom Tov for no good reason. This would be one of them. Kayotz, what?
Peeling skin?
Peeling skin in this particular fashion is a bizarre way to do it. Yes, you're taking off the hide. Okay? Kayotze bo. And it, we can... Yeah. Yeah, apologize.
I thought he was doing a pedicure.
Yeah, no, it's this animal's dead and we want its skin. Okay? Kayotze bo. Similarly, says the Brisa, Ein margilin bibichar, you can't do this again. Action of flaying the skin from the feet up on a bichor, below bipsulia muktashin, and not even on general the other types of psulia muktashin. Does everybody remember what psulia muktashin are for the last few days? Psulia muktashin are animals that should have been brought as korbanos that got a mum. Okay? So here we're differentiating between a bichor, okay, and balmum presumably as well, correct, and the rest of psulia muktashin. Although technically speaking, I guess you could call bichor psulia muktashin as well. But that's what the Bryce is saying over here. Okay, now, Bish Lama Yom Tov de Katarach Tircha de Lo Chazile, says the Gemara, we understand why everybody would agree that Yontif, you shouldn't be doing this, again, flaying from the feet up, because it's a Tircha de Lo Chazile, it's not necessary, and it's, you know, you shouldn't be doing it on Yontif, that we understand. Ela Bechor, when it comes to Bechor Mantana, who is of the opinion that you can't do this to a Bechor? And why wouldn't you be able to do this to a Bechor? Amar of Chista Beis Shamayhi. It's actually the opinion of Beis Shammai. De amar ein ma'achilin oso linidos. Beis Shammai, as we just said, is of the opinion that a Bechor Balmum retains a special level of Kedusha. What's the proof to that? Anybody? Number one, no Yisraelim can eat, like we said in our Mishnah. But more importantly, what the Gemara quotes is, you can't even feed this to Anita. So we see it retains a high level of Kedusha to say that this Tamei woman cannot eat from a Bechor even after it has a mum. Obviously, we see that they hold there's a special Kedusha when it comes to a Bechor. So therefore, Beis Shammai would say, hey, you can't just do this regular mundane act on the Bechor Bal Mum. You can't peel it up from the bottom. That's so inappropriate. That's something you do, you know, on a regular day, a plain day. And in fact, there are other cases where we compare Yontif to certain avodos in Kachem. We just had it come up in Beitza. And in fact, therefore, the Gemara proves that this is the opinion of Beis Shammai, saying that there's residual Kedusha even once it gets a mum. Therefore, this is the opinion of Beis Shammai according to Rav Chisda. V'lo b'psulei hamuktashin, and not for psulei hamuktashin, mantana. Which, who is the Tana of that opinion? Amar of Chista, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon hi. Chista says, this is actually not Beis Shammai, as we're going to see, but rather, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon. Okay, Ditnana, we have a Mishnah. Now, are any of you familiar with what a Chatas Mace is? Okay? There are five Chatas Mesos that basically, yes, you cannot be eaten or used in any way. Sorry?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's going to be our case. Let's go through our case, and then we're going to explain what the specifics of it are. Hayu lefan of shtei chatos. If you had two chatoses in front of you, okay, and as Rashi notes, okay, they were set aside that if one gets lost or gets messed up, the other one will be used as the korban instead of it. Okay, it's a case of achrayus. So now what happened was achas tamima, one still remained whole and proper, but the other one, viachas balas mum, the other one got a mum. Says the Mishnah, Tamima Tikarev, the whole one, the regular one, the one without a mum, should be brought as your korban, and that will give you a kapara. And Balas Mum Tipada, the other one, you can sell, right? You can change it off because it has a mum, you can be poded, as we've seen. Okay. And therefore, again, its money will go back. Okay. Nishchita Balas Mum. Now, what happens if someone decided to slaughter their Balmum as a Psulei HaMuktashin? If you slaughtered it before the blood of the other one was spritzed, you had zrika, muteres, it's permitted for you to eat. Okay? Even though, right, And says Rashi, and what's going to be the reason here? Let's continue. However, imish nizrak damashol tamima, if it's only slaughtered after there is zrika of the whole one, the regular one, then asura, it is prohibited. Now, why is it asura? You can't even have hana'a because it's called a chatas shekipru be'aleha, okay? The rule is if you have a chatas, when the owners of the chatas were already forgiven, okay, that chatas has to be killed and no benefit may be gotten from it. It's one of the five chata'os mesos. I didn't look up the other cases, okay? This chatas, though, if you have a chatas where the balim already received a kapara for what they did wrong, that chatas may not be eaten by anyone. It goes, basically, to be burnt. No hana'a whatsoever. So, okay, what happens is, since technically this chatas balmum is still intended as a chatas for the owner, so as soon as the first chatas is brought in the Beis HaMikdash and its blood is sprinkled, which presumably provides the kapara, at that point it's going to become a chatas shekipru be'aleha. Even the balmum one, again, because they're both reserved as a chatas, as a replacement, exactly. So long as you've done the zrika on the first one, the second one becomes a chatas shekipru be'aleha, and you may not have any hana whatsoever from it. Okay? This is only, we say, it depends on the shechita. Okay? According to the Tanakama of this Mishnah, it depends on when you slaughtered this balmum chatas. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Rishon Omer, afilu basar bekdera, v'nizrak dama shel tmima asura. Rabbi Elazar ben Rishon says no. He says you could be finishing cooking and you're ready to serve your meat. If at that point the blood gets spritzed and the person has a kapara, it's considered a chatas shekipru be'aleha even at that point, and you may not have any hana, even though it was shechted 12 hours ago. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter. It's considered a chatas shekipru be'aleha at that point, and therefore that meat, again, cannot be eaten. Okay, so now, this shows that by a case of regular psulei hamuktashin, meaning the chatas, okay? We have a chatas which had a mum in it. That's psulei hamuktashin. We see, says Rabbi Eliezer, it retains its kedusha again to a very high level. So much so that even though it was shechted yesterday and it's sitting in a pot, we still connect it back to its original purpose. Therefore, explains Rav Chisda, when we say that you can't do, again, this mundane act of flaying the skin from the feet up on an animal, it must follow suit to follow this opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who says, Psulei HaMukdashin retain a high level of Kedusha, just as we said the same with Beis Shammai and the Bechor. All clear? Okay, it's a bit of a bizarre case, but I think we made our way through it. Says the Gemara. Okay, now we start to ask on Rav Chisda. By the way, for those of you who came in a little bit late, I have Dafyomi summary sheets here. It's because I decided to make charts for myself to help me go through it. You're welcome to look at them now and follow through the shiur. It'll come especially helpful, I think, next Amud. Please do not take them with you unless you're actually planning on looking at them outside of the room. Otherwise, I would leave them for the second shiur, ideally. But if you are planning, please. I love when people learn, and if they're learning and this helps them, gives them to hate, there are a couple little mistakes, but I hope you forgive me. Okay, let's continue now. Now, getting back to where we were, Rav Chisda said the Gemara agreed the first case of not doing, again, Hargala or whatever, on Yom Tov, everybody agrees. Rav Chisda says the case of not peeling it up by a Bechor is Beis Shammai, and the case of not peeling it up by other Psulei HaMukdashin is, okay, it's like Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Ask the Gemara, come on, why are you splitting it up between different opinions here? Rav Chisda, look makula ke Beis Shammai. Ask the Gemara, why doesn't Rav Chisda logically extend Beis Shammai's opinion to the last opinion? What are you going, finding me some bizarre opinion of Chataos, Mesos, and you bring a proof, it's Rav Elazar ben Shimon? Rav Chisda, say it straight. Everything's just Beis Shammai. If Beis Shammai holds that way for a Bechor, why distinguish between Bechor and Psulei HaMukdashin, other Psulei HaMukdashin? So says the Gemara, Dilma ad kanlo, he would answer you, Dilma ad kanlo kamri Beis Shammai ela b'Bechor diktu shaso mirechem. Says, because there is a difference between regular Psulei HaMukdashin and Bechor. When it comes to Bechor, Bechor is a very special type of Kedusha, says the Gemara. It has Kedusha Mirechem. From when it's born, it's considered, from the womb, it's considered to be holy. So maybe Beis Shammai say, only in that case do we say it has a special Kedusha that remains even once it gets a mum. And therefore it would be considered too mundane to flay it from the feet up. Avo Psulei HaMukdashin de'ein Kedusha Samirechem lo. But regular Psulei HaMukdashin, they don't have any special Kedusha that, you know, comes from when they were born. They were later on considered, and therefore says Rav Chisda, who says Beis Shammai would agree that Psulei HaMukdashin can't be flayed in this manner? So ask the Gemara, fine, we'll go the other way. Right? V'luk makula k'Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Why don't we say that the entire thing is like Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon? Why even bring in Beis Shammai if Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon says by all Psulei HaMukdashin that their Kedusha remains to some extent, and therefore it's inappropriate to flay them in this manner. So why don't we say it all like him? Answers the Gemara, no. Dilma adkan lo kamar v'lazer b'ru shimon asam, ela b'psilei amukdashin da'alimi l'mitzvas pidyono. Says v'lazer b'ru shimon, there's a difference. If you look back and you learn Masechta Becharos, you'll find out that regular psilei amukdashin can be redeemed, but a bechor can't be redeemed. So therefore, we see the level of Kedusha by Psulei HaMukdashin is higher in this effect. Why? Because it's Alima Lemitfas Pidyono. The way this should be translated is, it's strong enough that it can capture its own redemption. Meaning, if I redeem a regular Korban Balmum that's not a Bechor or a Meiser, it transfers onto that other animal, or onto the money, really, in the case that we're talking about. However, you try to do that with the Bechor, it doesn't work. The Torah says it can't be redeemed. So therefore we see that he has an argument to say that regular Psulei HaMukdashin, again, would be holier than a Bechor. And therefore we cannot apply his logic by regular Psulei HaMukdashin back to Bechor. So as Rav Chisda says, we're forced to look at Bechor separately, distinctly, and to look at the rest of Psulei HaMukdashin distinctly. And each of them has their own opinion that they follow in this, right, Mishnah, sorry, Brisa. Now, continues the Gemara. One second. For Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, lastly, kol psulei hamukdashin nimkaren be'itlis v'nishkalon b'litra. Ask the Gemara, maybe we should come at it from a different perspective. Okay? A different question now. Says, as Rashi is going to explain this, why doesn't Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon let us peel the animal from the feet up? Why doesn't he let us flay the animal from the feet up? Why? We see back in our Mishnah there's precedent for allowing technically mundane things for the sake of making more money. And if this is going to get you a better hide, because you peeled it all in one piece from the feet up, so why doesn't he allow you to do that? Wouldn't he hold of the svar of our Mishnah to say, that you're allowed to do, again, these technically mundane things to them so that the Beis HaMikdash benefits. So if the Beis HaMikdash wants to sell hides, or, again, the way that we concluded in the Gemara on Shabbos, on the Daf, we said was that it's an individual is allowed to do this, and therefore the Beis HaMikdash will make more money when they sell it. So too, why don't we allow this person here to flay it in this manner, and the Beis HaMikdash will be able to make more money. So to this, the Gemara, right, Alma di'ikad rav chalahektish sharilei. And we see, says the Gemara, explaining what I just explained outside, that when there's a benefit to Hektish, we allow such actions. Okay? Amar of Mari Breda of Kahana, now we're going to have three answers. Answer number one, of Mari Breda of Kahana, Mashe Mashbiach Ba'or Pegam Be'Basar. He says it's a factual issue. You might say it's better for the hide, and you'll make more money on the hide. The truth is, in such cases, it somehow ruins the meat. The meat is worth less when you do Hargala as opposed to other types of flaying the skin, and therefore it's not actually better, therefore it's not permitted because it's not going to give a benefit to Hektish. Hektish won't make any more money by allowing you to flay the skin in this manner. Okay? The second answer is, says, when it comes to selling it, when it's chopped up into pieces in the butcher shop, that's different than this case. Why? Because here it looks like you're working kachim. Why? Apparently flaying it looks more like you're working it, which is a bizayon gadol, as Rashi says, right? A bizayon gadol hu shenira ka'ovet avoda b'kachim shemokhen or l'tzorach mapos. Because you adayin ala kachim, it's, you know, you're selling the skin while it's on the kachim. This is a very inappropriate act, and it's closer to what looks like working, which is prohibited for a Bechor, okay? You can't do Gizava Avoda. And finally, much more related to that, you have the we're scared, says Rav Yossi Bar Avin, that what's going to happen is people are going to wait, okay? Till people are not going to slaughter their animals till later, and they're going to let these Bechor Balmoms grow up, and there's going to be dozens and dozens and hundreds of hundreds. They're all waiting. When's the best time for me to sell the skin on this? When's the best time for this hide, the hide market? And that's what's going to happen if we allow people to sell it for the hide. And what happens is if you have all these different flocks and so many live Bechorim running around, you're much more likely to get into troubles of Giza Va'avoda, shearing and working, and therefore that's too much of a concern, so we won't allow it here, unlike allowing it to be sold in a slaughterhouse. Okay, so these are the three answers of the Gemara as to why this is different according to Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Shimon. All clear? Mm-hmm. Three answers. It's not like allowing it to be sold in the butcher shop because flaying it has either a negative effect on the meat, or B, it's too similar to working the animal, or C, it may cause the animal to be worked or shorn in the future. Next Mishnah now, okay? Here's where I think you'll find the Mishnah and Brisa, specifically in the Gemara, you're going to find the Brisa charts on the second page of the photocopies. Again, I apologize. It was supposed to be double-sided. That didn't happen. From the Gemara, you're going to find the chart very, very useful because it allows you to lock up the different shittos against each other. But this Mishnah is now going to talk about the issues involved in accidentally or some potentially on purpose causing a mum for somewhat of a positive reason. And here's what happens. B'chor she'achzo dam. If you have a Bechor, which, again, got ill in some way that it needed to have its blood let. Okay? I'm not going into what's achso this and that, and psychological, and shedim, and that's not what we're here to talk about. Bechor she'achso dam afilu meis, even if it's going to die, ein makizin lo dam. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care if this animal's going to die because you don't let out its blood, okay, which was something they used to do for health purposes on people and on animals, apparently. Says, I couldn't care the less. You don't bloodlet. Period. Okay? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim omrim, chachamim say, we have a compromise. Yakiz, bloodlet. Uvilvad shelo yaseh bomum. But try not to make a mum. However, v'maseh bomum, and if you in fact ended up making a mum yourself when you were bloodletting, harezeh lo yishchad alav, you've got to wait until it gets another mum before you slaughter it as a b'chor bal mum. Why? Because this mum almost like doesn't count in a way. Because you created it, exactly. Therefore, you cannot, obviously, you're not allowed to make a mum on a Bechor once it already has its Kedusha. Okay, and therefore, if you accidentally did give it a mum while you're bloodletting, you've got to wait till it gets another one before you slaughter it. And finally, Rishim and Omer, Yakis Afal Pishu Osevum, Rishim says, doesn't matter. You can bloodlet, don't worry about it, and the Gemara is going to go through the Sfaras. Now, here we have our Brisa, okay? Again, you may find it useful to focus on the chart here, certainly when we're comparing Shittos. Tana Rabbanan. V'chor she'achzo dam makizin lo asa dam. Okay? B'makom she'in osin bomum. V'ein makizin lo asa dam b'makom she'osin bomum. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So the first opinion of Rabbi Meir, and you can, again, follow along in the charts, bloodletting is permitted, but only in places on the body where it cannot cause a mum. Okay, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. The Chachamim say the same thing they did in the Mishnah, obviously, which is, you can't slaughter it if you made it a mum. Try not to make a mum. If you make a mum, though, don't worry, but don't consider it a b'chor bal mum just from that mum. You have to wait for another one, because you caused it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, okay, also the same as in our Mishnah, af nishchad al oso hamum, he doesn't care. If you ended up making the mum, obviously you shouldn't try to, but you do whatever is right for this animal. It's going to die. And therefore, even if you made the mum, it doesn't matter. You can slaughter it as a b'chor bal mum based on that. And finally, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the fourth opinion, okay? Afilu meis ein makizin lo es hadam, as we had in the Mishnah, no bloodletting is permitted, okay? So it's our Mishnah plus Rabbi Meir. You can check on the chart, four shittos, permitted only in places on the body where it can't give a mum. Okay, this is the Brisa 33b, the second chart on the second page. Chachamim. It's permitted, but you can't slaughter the animal as a b'chor b'mum if you caused a mum. Rabbi Shimon is permitted, even if it gets a mum, you can slaughter it. And finally, Rabbi Yehuda, no bloodletting whatsoever. Now, Masni le Rabbi Lazar libre, v'amri la Rabbi Chiya libre. Some people say Rabbi Lazar said it to some people say Rabbi Chiya said it to some. Ke machlokes kan, like the machlokes here, kach machlokes b'chavis shel truma. So do we have the machlokes about a chavis shel truma, okay? Titnan, here's the case of Chavis Shel Truma. Chavis Shel Truma shenolad basafik tuma. You've got something in this barrel of Truma that looks like it might be Tame, okay? So what happens? Rabbi Elazar Omer im haisa bimakom ha-torfa yanichena bimakom ha-mutzna. He says if it was in an open place, okay, you've got to hide it away so it doesn't come into contact with any other tumah. Meaning, he's concerned, even though it's safek tameh now, don't allow it under any circumstances to come into contact with other tumah. Im haisa megula, and if it was open, yechasena, you don't want it to become tameh in any way, even though it's safek tameh now. Okay? Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, im haisa munachas b'makom amutzna, yani chena b'makom atorfa. Rabbi Yehoshua says the opposite. He said it's safek tameh. So fine, so let it get tameh. We want it to get tameh now. We want it to get, so to say, the second, correct, the second wave of tumah. So he says, if it's hidden away, open it up. Put it out in the public. Uncover it. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Rabban Gamliel says, lo yecharish badaver, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Says Rav Elazar to his son, or Rav Chiya to his son, here's our comparison of shittos. Yes. Oh, I thought you were raising your hands. Okay, so here's our comparison of shittas, okay? And here's where it's going to really help you to look at the chart. Rabbi Meir ke Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbanan ke Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehuda ke Rabban Gamliel. So, Rabbi Meir, who said bloodletting is permitted, but only in places where it can't cause a mum, meaning we won't allow you to bloodlet any place where it could potentially cause a mum, is like Rabbi Eliezer. He says you've got to protect it from getting a mum. You've got to protect it from becoming tameh. Okay, the simple understanding, at least in the Maskana of the Gemara, is that if it's so sick that it's going to die, it's almost considered like a suffic mum right now, or like a mum right now. So Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir are paired up, where they say, we don't want a mum to happen, we don't want it to become tameh. Okay? Chacham and Rabbi Yehoshua are going to be paired up. Okay? Chachamim say, you want it to get another mum in that case, right? If you bloodlet it and got a mum, we want it to get another mum. So too here, Rabbi Yehoshua says, you place it in a position where it will get tameh in another way. That's like the second mum. And finally, Rabbi Yehuda is like Rabban Gamliel. Okay? And he says, no bloodletting. Rabban Gamliel says, again, you leave it alone. Nothing changes. You cannot cause this to happen. Okay? That's correct. There's no parallel for Rabbi Shimon. That's why it's left off on the chart. The Gemara does not give a parallel for Rabbi Shimon. That's correct. You actually can parallel Rabbi Shimon, but I'm not going to go into that now. Let's continue. We've got a lot to read, although it's going to, again, be very simple with this chart now. Okay, so says the Gemara, Mehecha tesi mimai. How do you know? Dilma ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Meir hasam dekavid bi'adayim avalacha degrama krabi Yoshua spirelei. Okay, so the Gemara is going to go through through logical arguments. Logical argument number, basically distinctions between the two cases. By the case of Tumah is different. Why? For two reasons. Number one, it's just grumma there. Leaving a barrel open and some Tumah being able to get into it is a lot different than cutting open an animal's arm. I'm sorry, that's only grumma, whereas this is biyadayim. On the other hand, the other difference is that in the case of bloodletting, what happens if you don't bloodlet it? It dies. Whereas in the case of Truma, what happens if you don't touch it? Eliyahu might come and say, yeah, it's only a suffix. It turned out it was Tahar. So these are going to be the two differences, and the Gemara is going to ask this on each of the comparisons, with the exception of Rabbi Yehoshua, I don't know why. You can start to have an argument, but again, I don't want to get into that. So follow the chart along here. I'm going to read the Hebrew and then explain it in the chart, okay? Alacha de gramak Rabbi Yehoshua sfirlei v'adkan lo kam Rabbi Elazar hasam ela shema yavol yahuvi tarena, which is as far as we just said. Avalacha di shavik lemayis rabbanan sfirlei v'adkan lo kam rabbanan hacha di shavik lemayis aval hasam shema yavol yahuvi tarena Rabbi Elazar sfirlu v'adkan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hacha di kavid biadaim avalacha de gramak Rabbi Yehoshua sfirlei v'adkan lo kam Rabbi Gamliel hasam de shema yavol yahuvi tarena avalacha di shavik lemayis rabbanan sfirlei. Okay. So here's our summary in the charts of all those words that I just read. They're all the same as far as really. When we say that Rabbi Meir is like Rabbi Elazar, then he says bloodletting is permitted only in places where you can't cause a mum, meaning he doesn't allow you to cause a mum. That's only because you're inflicting the wound directly. However, who says he would hold like Rabbi Elazar to say you can't let some tumah make its way into the barrel? That's only a grama. And on the flip side, Rabbi Eliezer, maybe he only holds that way because here there's a chance that it's still tahor. That's why he doesn't want to allow tumah to get in. But where the animal's going to die, who says he wouldn't say to allow you to bloodlet in a place where it would get a mum? Again, with Rabbanan and Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbanan and the Mishnah, maybe they only hold that if it gets a mum, you know, you can't slaughter it until it gets another mum. Maybe they only hold that way because, again, if you don't bloodlet it, it's going to die. But who says you can compare it to the case where maybe it's still tahor? How can you compare that? So too with Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda only prohibits bloodletting because it's a direct action where you're cutting open the animal. But maybe when it's a grama, he wouldn't agree to Rabban Gamliel. Maybe he'd agree to Rabbi Yoshua. And so to the flip side, maybe Rabban Gamliel only holds that since there's a chance it's still tahor, you should leave it alone. However, in the case of bloodletting, it's going to die. If not, he would say you should bloodlet. So basically, there's no proof that these are actually comparable to one another. Okay? And again, I hope this is helpful here. I think it is. It was helpful for me. Now, the Gemara is going to say, maybe it doesn't even have anything to do with that. Okay? The ode, says the Gemara, Hacha bikra'i pligi. Really, it's not a machlokes. You know, in logic, it's a machlokes about darshaning psokim. In what way? So says the Gemara, Hacha bikra'i pligi. Here's how they are arguing. Damar Ruchia Barav Amar Yochanan. Ruchia Barav says in the name of Yochanan, Hakol modim, everybody agrees, b'mechametz achar, mechametz shehu chayev. If you have a case of one person basically made it chametz in one way, and then afterwards another person baked it, the second person's going to be chayev. Dichsiv lo se'afeh chametz. Okay? And it says also lo se'aseh. Okay? Lo se'aseh chametz. Okay? In those cases, so we see mechametz achar mechametz, the second person to come along and do something is still chayev. And so too b'mesaris achar mesaris shehu chayev. In the case of Sirus Achar, Sirus, I don't want to get too graphic here, but basically, there are types of castration that one can do where you first cut something off, but there are still things that are connected, and then afterwards you can physically remove them, okay? If you're chayef for cutting it off, aren't you obviously chayef for completely detaching it? If you detach it after cutting it, you're going to be chayef. And they all agree. Everybody in our Mishnah agrees that the second time you do something, you're still chayev for it, okay? That's very important when it comes to mumin. Lo nachu ela b'matul mum b'baal mum. And the only machlokas was specifically in the case of mumin. Once you have an animal with a mum, can you then go ahead and give it another mum? Derameir savar kol mum lo yiyabo. There's a pasuk says kol mum lo yiyabo. Even once it has a mum, you cannot give it another mum. That's why Rabbi Meir says you can't bloodlet in place where it has a mum. Rabbanan savri no tamimi yele ratzon. It's only not allowed to give it a mum when it was tamim, when it was whole, when it's not a balmum. But once it's a balmum, too late. Rav Meir, hi tamim yel ratzon my avid lay. What does Rav Meir do with that pasuk? Mi bayle lim ute balmum meikaro. Rav Meir says that pasuk of tamim yel ratzon, where you're allowed to give it a mum, is only when it grew up, it was born with a mum, but not when it got a mum later on in life. Okay? Says the Gemara, balmum meikaro pshita. Obviously, if it already has a mum, then you know there's no shaychus to it. Dikla ba'almo. It's like a tree. Rather, no, Rav Meir would apply the pasuk of Tamim Yel Ratzon l'me'ute psulei ha-mukdashim l'achar pidyonan, to exclude psulei ha-mukdashim after their nifta. Meaning psulei ha-mukdashim, again, regular animal, got a mum, and now someone's poda, if you're allowed to be notel another mum at that point. You would think that since psulei ha-mukdashim have the rules of Giza Vavoda, you can't do them, that you also wouldn't be allowed to give them a mum after pidyon. Kamash malan, no, you are allowed to, according to Rav Meir. Rabbanan nam yaksiv kamum lo yebo. How do Rabbanan deal with Rabbi Meir's pasuk? Legrama hu de'asi. It comes to you. Grama de'tanya mum lo yebo. Ein li ela shelo yitin bo mum. Minayin shelo yavi de'velo vatzik v'yanechela ozen kadeh shiyavo kelev yochlana. Tamar lomar kamum lo yebo. Echad mum ve'echad kamum. Okay, and the Rabbanan say that pasuk of Rabbi Meir teaches you that you cannot cause a mum by grama by putting something sweet on, you know, the ear of the animal, having a dog come and sick it. That would be a case of grama. That's where they say you cannot add a mum.